Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Don't forget, you can now visit our new online community for job hunters. It's a Brian Lehrer Show Facebook page called Help Wanted. Join us to tell your job hunt stories or to share your tips with others. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show for our Help Wanted Facebook community for job seekers. Well, news broke yesterday that ACORN, the embattled activist group that became a lightning rod for national ire last fall, was ceasing operations nationwide, or at least changing its name, or that state organizations were disconnecting from the national group, or something. So what really is going on, and can it rebuild to help the poor as it did before? With us to sort out what is happening and what it means is Ben Smith, senior political writer for Politico.com, and Edward Isaac Dover, editor of City Hall newspaper, who both reported this story yesterday. Ben, Isaac, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
And ACORN, of course, is the progressive grassroots organization with chapters all over the country. Last fall, conservative activist and stuntman, if you prefer, James O'Keefe, who has since been arrested for another of his political stunts, visited several ACORN affiliates. He and a friend dressed as a pimp and prostitute and then released videos of ACORN staff appearing to give tax advice on setting up a prostitution ring. Just to remind people of the background, here is a short clip from one of those videos.
Well, she's going to have this business in the house with a bunch of girls coming in and doing these things, you know, performing tricks, and she's going to give me the money so that I can pay the mortgage.
Pay the mortgage.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's how we want to work it, potentially. Does that
But your name is going to be on the mortgage, your name is going to be on the deed.
But it's, no one has to know where the money's coming from.
She can't transfer it to somebody else.
Like a friend, or?
Who is not in that business.
ACORN worker, let's say, turning the other cheek. And so in the wake of that scandal, ACORN lost lots of federal funding, city funding, foundation funding. So, Isaac, what's the news today?
Well, what happened was, out of necessity, ACORN's offices around the country have had to disengage from the national organization. It's really pretty simple. They had mounting legal bills related to some of the things going on, and last fall, the federal government cut off funding to ACORN. In addition to that, a lot of the foundations that several of the member organizations rely on for support had expressed concerns about giving the money to those organizations because they thought that money would just out of necessity go to paying the legal bills that were coming rather than going to the mission of the organizations. So what happened yesterday was a long time coming, and eventually they just really didn't have the money even to pay their phone bills. So in New York, they became New York Communities for Change. They, in a bunch of other states, from California to Pennsylvania and Minnesota, the same thing is going on. What's not clear is what will be left of ACORN nationally when it's all done, and whether there will be any kind of ACORN structure. For now, they're saying that there will be.
And Ben, what has become of the national group? Is it still in operation?
Yeah, they are claiming it's always been not one group, but this overlapping mess of many, many nonprofits, for-profits, various structures, and that was one of the criticisms of them. So they're still incorporated nationally. They still seem to be paying their national staff. But the strength of the group was always its local chapters. They were also the things that got it into trouble. I mean, it was this incredibly kind of heterogeneous, messy group. It was never really one thing. You know, even in each city, it would be doing six different things. And so its strongest chapters, the ones that I think were, you know, the source of money and attention for the national group, notably the New York chapter, also the California chapter, you know, are in the process of splitting off. But, you know, this isn't totally new. The Chicago chapter expressing concerns about some of the same management stuff that came back to bite them last year left ACORN a couple years ago. So it's always been a complicated place.
Right. And, you know, I want to emphasize again, Isaac, that for me, this is not just a political story or, you know, a subterfuge story or a corruption story or whatever you want to call it. I want to know who's doing the work that Acorn used to do, because this isn't just a political group. They help individuals with foreclosure prevention, getting mortgages, food stamps, earned income tax credits. That's why O'Keefe was able to sneak in as a fake pimp looking for help, because people come there looking for help. But without Acorn in New York, who's been picking up that work for real poor people?
Well, what's going on is that they've relaunched as this group called New York Communities for Change, which is doing a lot of the same work. They released a statement yesterday saying that they're going to get right to work on helping with the foreclosure crisis. I think you're right, Brian, that a lot of the attention that goes that's gone to Acorn over the past couple months has been about them as a political entity. But there are a lot of services that they provide about mortgage counseling and foreclosure help and all that sort of thing. And I don't know exactly how it's going to be. I don't think that anybody quite knows what it's going to look like when we come out through the other end of this. But already yesterday, they announced a new board with people who, for the most part, had not been board members of Acorn before. And on top of that, even though there is a new board, a lot of the staff is that was with Acorn as of 2 weeks ago is now with this new group, New York Communities for Change.
I mean, I guess I'd just add that the reason Republicans hated them was for their political work, at least at first, although they then targeted the anti-poverty work. And my impression, although I'm not sure this is totally settled, but from talking to senior people over there yesterday, was that the New York chapter is going to try to kind of keep its head down and focus on the anti-poverty work, which certainly here isn't controversial at all. And you probably won't see them in a high-profile way in political campaigns anytime real soon.
And what about the importance of the board? Because if Acorn was disorganized, if Acorn didn't have good management, which seems to be the case, at least in some of its offices around the country, allowing things like this O'Keefe sting to succeed, there's been talk that the new board needs to be more professional than the old board. Being a good tenant organizer can't be enough to get you on the board. You have to have some kind of professional management skills or something like that. Ben, is that a major point of change here?
You know, that remains to be seen. This is not some sort of real board of outsiders brought in with a strong hand to clean things up. It's a lot of the same people, and they're kind of friends and allies, I think, brought in to, you know, provide some friendly oversight and the appearance of real change. But, it was not an organization that was run by a strong outside board. It was run by the same people who'd been running it for decades, the Kest brothers, Bertha Lewis, people in New York, who people in New York sort of political organizing circles know. And my impression is that they're going to continue entirely to run it. So no, I don't think there's some kind of real major change underway. I don't think they're, the knock on them always was that their politics and their sort of kind of opposition to bourgeois things like accounting, tended to interfere with their ability to operate an organization.
Yeah. But the new board in New York, or the new organization in New York, New York Communities for Change, which technically replaces Acorn here, Isaac, will have a new board with more professional experience, new bylaws, a clear direction, and no relationship with the national group. So how will anybody...
Brian, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with the line. I'm sorry, I'll have to call back.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, so Ben, on the answer you were just giving, can you disconnect the local from the national Acorn in terms of its management or prospective management?
You know, it was never that connected. I don't think that, again, it's not like these guys were taking marching orders from anybody nationally, from the sort of rotating cast of spokespeople who have over the last year popped up as national spokespeople, most of them drawn from local chapters. Bertha Lewis, who was the longtime New York chief, sort of emerged a couple years, amid the crisis as a national spokesperson, I think largely because she made a good spokesperson. But the strength of the group has always been its urban chapters. And so, no, I mean, New York, there was always a tail wagging the dog, and this is the tail, and it's still very formidable.
And recently in New York, it wasn't only the right that hated Acorn, it was opponents of the Atlantic Yards project.
They were among the first to sort of notice yesterday this transformation.
And does this affect their deal with the Atlantic Yards developer to take a lot of money from them to administer community benefits agreements?
Now, that is a great question. I have not seen anywhere that Ratner has renegotiated with them. I suspect it gets Bruce Ratner off the hook in terms of even having any responsibility to any group. I mean, these community benefits agreements were always kind of negotiated privately with the lowest bidder, essentially, which happened to be Acorn. And And yeah, I'm not, and because it was a private agreement, I don't really see whether Ratner's bound by it at all.
That would be interesting to follow up on. Mary in Westbrook, you're on WNYC on Acorn. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Brian. Where do I begin? According to Media Matters for America, that film was so heavily edited. You said that that person walked into the Acorn offices dressed as a pimp. He didn't. That was a B-roll that was put together afterwards, and he's been outed for that. The woman that was supposed to be his prostitute was the one that said that was a B-roll. Those were costumes that they did not show up in Acorn offices dressed like that. And that's according to Media Matters for America, so I'm fairly certain.
But they did. But we heard
about.
But we heard the audio. Where...
Yes. Okay. So questionable things were said, but for you to say that he walked in there dressed as a pimp, you're just That's patently untrue, and you should be called out on it.
Okay, if that's inaccurate, then I stand corrected. But how does it change the meaning of the incident where they went in and posed as a pimp and a prostitute, whether in some kind of costume or not, and asked for advice on, you know, how to deal with their finances that were coming in through a prostitution business?
Well, A, if it was as dishonest as it is, if they manipulated it to the point that they did through dishonesty, who knows what else was edited together? I mean, on the face of it, that videotape cannot be trusted. So, yes, I heard the audio tape, but, I mean, really, can we take anything that these people have done on face value?
Isaac, you want to answer that?
I mean, I think that what happened in the audio tape seems, the dispute is over whether...
Whoops, did we lose you again? I think we're having a lot of trouble with Isaac Dovier from City Hall Magazine's lines. We still have Ben Smith from Politico. And, Ben, we're almost out of time. But to Mary's question, I mean, she's right to a certain degree about the costumes that editing had been revealed by Media Matters. No criminal charges materialized from the pimp video scandal.
Yeah, that's a very important point. I mean, I think that the videos were overhyped. But at the same time, they revealed something that had been an open secret on the left forever, which was the sort of level of internal chaos and disorganization in this group and the very uneven standards. I mean, it's not like, I mean, I don't know, if you went undercover to a number of lawyers and asked them if you had to run your prostitution racket, some would probably help you out. So, I mean, you know, in some ways it wasn't a great surprise that they were able to get this questionable advice from a group that I think a lot of people knew had very uneven staffing.
And by the way, the answer to the question, where is James O'Keefe now? The answer is arrested recently for tampering with the phones of Louisiana Senator Mary Landrieu.
On parole, specifically.
Yes, in another sting that apparently crossed the line of legality in his own right. So how much credibility does he have? And it is a shame, and we've talked about this on this program, that even if the sting videos are what they appear to be, that the actions of some sloppy Acorn workers wound up tarnishing this anti-poverty organization at the national level, and that politicians, including Democratic politicians, ran away from it so fast rather than hang in there and explain the real nature of the work that the group does. So,
well,
that's an opinion.
I mean, you know, people on the right would say it's all one fabric, and I think a lot of people in Acorn would say that their political activity and their anti-poverty activity were all part of the same sort of, you know, attempt to make social change.
Edward Isaac Dovier from City Hall, the newspaper which you can see online, and Politico.com, which you can also see online, gives us Ben Smith. Thank you both very much for joining us. Isaac, can you hear me somewhere in there? Thank you both very much. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We have the New York State Comptroller next, Tom DiNapoli. He is releasing a report this morning that finds, can you believe this, record profits on Wall Street for 2009. Stay with us.